this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And this morning, I want to continue. I didn't know how many words would come forth. I didn't know the gist of the words. But I want to read a whole bunch of scriptures for us that revolve around, I think, one of the themes the Lord just came to establish this morning. And on Friday morning, I had the great privilege of ministering at the Valedictory Service of Paro Valley. My first time there at the school, and it was an amazing experience just to see the school that produced such awesome men as Eugene and Robert and Andre and Kurt and a whole bunch of people that went to Paro Valley, and obviously a lot of other people that I'm missing. But it was amazing to be there and to just listen to just the feeling and the sense of legacy the school was all about and what the school was trying to impart. And so the headmaster was talking about when these kids are done with high school and many years later when they meet up again and when they look back at the time there, that they will understand that there's a blue thread, a blue thread that runs throughout their lives, that binds them together, and that binds them in their shared experiences and the values and in what they have experienced there at that school. And I thought that is so powerful. It is such an amazing tradition to have, but I realized that more than just a blue thread, the most important thread that God wants us to have in our lives is what we heard this morning. It's that scarlet thread of God's blood that runs through us and that binds us together and that actually comes to enable us to live not just for ourselves but to live for the generations to come. And as that school was talking about the responsibility and the legacy that those matriculants had to leave, I again was just astounded by the fact that God entrusts His legacy into our hands. The legacy of His love, the legacy of Him wanting to heal hearts and heal relationships and heal people and reach people and draw them into community with Himself. He chooses to entrust that not to a bunch of archangels. He chooses to entrust that into our hands. He invests so much of who He is into these earthen vessels, these pots of clay, as Paul speaks about. And one of the amazing privileges I think that we have as the people of God is to establish a culture and a legacy where we live, as my title says there, with hands wide open. There was a song that was just running through my mind yesterday, "With Arms Wide Open" by Creed. Don't know if you guys know the song, "Arms Wide Open." Just speaking about the way that we can live and we approach life without fear. And I remember the last verse of that song speaks about this. It's about this dad or this guy that gets the news that his wife fell pregnant, and then he's amazed by the awesome responsibility. He says, "We've created life." And it stirs a lot of things in his heart. And I remember all the emotions I went through when Nikki took me out on a date, and she put down on the table a little bow and arrow. And she said, she just put it down on the table. And it took me a while to just like understand what was going on. But then I realized there's an arrow about to be added to the quiver the Lord has given me. And we were pregnant. And I remember just that sense of, oh my hat, oh my goodness. You know, there is something that is about to take place. There's something that is beginning to happen. There's so much more that's going to be added to my life. There's an added responsibility that's now coming in. And I have to now think about how I live. I now have to be deliberate about how I live and the provision that I make and what I put in place for those who are going to come after me. And the choices that I make now and in that moment will have a ripple effect upon the lives that will flow forth from us. And so I was a little bit emotional this morning. I was standing in the front and we were worshiping, and that little girl that was just represented by that arrow 9 years ago was standing next to me and raising her hands to the Lord and worshiping God. And it's such a privilege to have your kids worship with you and to know that we are imparting something to them. And God has called us to be fruitful naturally, but especially spiritually as well. And he's called us to leave behind the legacy. And I don't know what it is about me, but I'm becoming increasingly sentimental. Probably it's because I hit the 40s last year. And so I don't know what it is with me. But I'm very, very sentimental. And I was going through some of my stuff. My dad gave me an aktetas. What do you call an aktetas? A briefcase. Many years ago when I started teaching. The thing is all, it's been through the storms, been through the weather. But I put a lot of stuff in that briefcase a few years ago. And amongst others, this little leather pencil case. Thank you, love. And inside of this pencil case, there's a few pictures and like little yellow, was it white at one stage, but it's turning yellow now, envelope with all sorts of stuff in there. And then this little book. And this book was the only thing, besides my grandfather's war medals that I got from my grandmother. And I opened it up and I started reading through it. And I have read through it before, but I sort of didn't pay too much attention because right at the beginning of the page, it says Bioplus Stroop, Alcophyllex, Hoes Medicine, Puma Balsam, and so forth. So there's a whole bunch of medicine listed there. And then there are birthdays, more birthdays, and children's birthdays, grandchildren's birthdays, great-grandchildren's birthdays, deaths, lots of deaths as well, dates and names. But it was only this week that I started reading further. And I began to discover a lot of incredible things in this book. One of the songs that was very precious to my grandmother was the one we sang now, Blye Verseker, and she used to sing that song over and over again, together with Tel Jou Seëninge, Tel Een Vir Een. Tel Jou Seëninge, Tel Een Vir Een. Just over and over, she would just sing that song, and it's the one thing I remember about her, an incredibly thankful person, an amazing person who, even towards the latter part of her life, living in an old age home that really was not a very pleasant place, she was just incredibly thankful. And as I was reading through this, I began to discover so much about her. And she, amongst other things, she made this diary entry, which I quickly want to read for you. On the 15th of April, 1989, Satan attacks, and then she mentions one of my cousin's names, which I'm not going to mention to you. Satan attacks so-and-so on the 15th of April, 1989. And then a few weeks later, she makes another one. That same cousin. Die Here aangeneem as sy persoonlike saligmaker en verlosser. And I'm so thankful for her writing that down. I'm so thankful for her being a wise steward of what God was doing in our family. Because as I was reading through and I was looking at the date, I realized that was the age that my cousin was at was the same age my dad was at, bar a year or two, when he was attacked and sodomized. It's the exact same thing that happened to my cousin. And yet God was more than just that severe thing that happened. God was beyond the trauma, beyond that heart, a God was busy showing his faithfulness. My cousin is still serving God. My dad is faithfully serving God. And my grandma wrote this down. She went on to write down every first sermon my dad preached at every service where he went to. So February 1972, she was very official, bioformal, Domini A. Titus, she calls her own son. Bevestig in Houston, sy gemeente, ordained in Houston's congregation, February 1972. His farewell message in Houston, 1974, according to Acts 20, verse 20. Ordained in Somerset West, February 1975. First sermon, Judges 6, verse 15 to 16. Farewell message, 17th of April, 1977. Ordained in Walvis Bay, the 13th of July, 1977. First sermon, Philippians 4, So she goes on every congregation that they've been through, and I'm reading through those scriptures, and I'm reading through them, and I'm saying, thank you, Grandma, for leaving behind a legacy, leaving behind something that can enrich my life. And amongst other things, I discovered that she wrote down the time when they got their first television, the first fridge, the first time she went to Windhoek to go and visit my dad. And she says, die mense daar is baie gasvry en vriendelik oral waar jy gaan. Baie mooi ding is daar te sien amongst all the beautiful people. And then I began to understand a little bit more about her, that the song she was singing about thankfulness wasn't just a song, it was a lifestyle. And I realized what a legacy of thankfulness, what a legacy to leave behind, a disposition to say that I'll be focused on God more than anything else. And her life wasn't hunky-dory, her life wasn't without trauma, her life wasn't without heartache. There were lots of things, a lot of chaos in the nation while she was living, even in her grandparents' and great-grandparents' lives and her own children's lives. And yet, there was this thankfulness that just came through over and over again. And what I realized was that whether I'm writing things down in a book or not, I am busy writing a story for my children, for my grandchildren. And so I was confronted again with a question, what story am I writing? What will they read when they hear the stories about my life? And hopefully, I will be telling them some stories. Hopefully, I will be imparting something to them. And what I want to speak to us this morning about is just a whole bunch of verses which I believe God wants to just come and instill into our hearts to again encourage us to leave behind a legacy in the midst of the trying circumstances in which we are living. So Psalm 95 verse 1 says, Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. And you know, when we come together on a Sunday morning, again, my plea to us would be that us singing and worshiping God would not just be a Sunday morning thing, but that it would be our lifestyle. That it would be something that we live, something that we demonstrate, something that we proclaim to those around us, especially to those living with us at home. Because I believe one of the greatest responsibilities God has given us as believers and as parents is to demonstrate a lifestyle of thankfulness to our children. I love what verse 2 says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And you know, when we come together on a Sunday morning, when we gather, I believe there are many reasons why we can come together. There are many reasons that brings us here. We love each other and we look forward to seeing each other and we look forward to the sharing of the word. But beyond all of those things, we are coming into God's presence. And here God gives us an invitation and he extends a particular path for us and says, when you come into my presence with thanksgiving. The word thanksgiving comes from the Hebrew word todah. Okay, the Strong's Concordance says it's thanks, thanksgiving, adoration, and praise. This word is derived from the verb yada, to give thanks or to give praise. And the root of praise is yad. Okay, that's where the word comes from, which means hand. The Hebrew language is a very a beautiful, picturesque language. It's a very figurative language, and so it would often speak in terms of figures. It's very I would talk about sin as missing the mark. It would talk about someone who is proud, as someone who's puffed up. And so it was nothing theoretical about the Hebrew language. It was very practical language. And so when it speaks about praise, it speaks about living towards God with open hands. And when we give thanks to God, we would open our hands. And so when we come together to worship God, it's not a charismatic tradition. It's not a fad to come before the Lord and to raise our hands. It is a very practical way that we engage our heart and we engage our minds to say to God, God, we give you thanks. We live towards you with open hands. We don't hold on to our lives. We don't hold on to our fears. We don't hold on to our anxieties or to our bitterness, to our way of looking at life. We let go of that and we give you thanks. We thank you, God. So to thank God, to praise God is to lift, to extend one's hands in thanks to Him. And so I would want to ask us, how open are our hands in praise to God? How open are our hands here when we come together? Because this really is just this is the place where it's the easiest, isn't it? It's easy to worship God here. We want to take what we receive from God here, and we want to take that into our homes, into our schools, into the boardrooms where we live. Psalm 95 verse 5 says that the sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Again, and so we worship God with open hands, but there comes a time as well when we come before God and we bow down before Him. Some of the band demonstrated to us, we kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand. And today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. And so, He's speaking to the people of Israel again, and He reminds them, and He says to them, guys, you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You're not your own shepherd. You don't have to fear about finding green pastures or finding a life-giving water. You can relax. You can come back and say, God, in the midst of everything that goes on around us, You are a good shepherd. We belong to You. We're not left to the wolves to come in and to plunder us. You are a good shepherd. We can trust You. We are the sheep of His hand. But then He says to them, don't harden your hearts. And then He mentions a very particular place then, and I quickly want to read that story for you. He goes on to say, when your fathers put Me to the test then, put Me to the proof, though they had seen My work. For 40 years, I loathed their generation, God says, and said, they are people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known My ways. Therefore, I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter My rest. And the story we find in Exodus 17, verse 1. And Moses is speaking to the people of Israel, and he's reminding them, he's taking them back in the journey that they've been on. And when I looked at this, I again realized how important it is for us believers to continuously speak about the things God has done, to continuously declare this is where we have been, but this is where God has brought us through. And we are standing on the verge of a very challenging time in our history, but I believe the way we're going to build our faith, the way we are going to have hope, the way we are going to be able to go into whatever sphere we need to go into is remind ourselves of where we've come from, to remind ourselves of how faithful God has been. And so Moses is speaking to the people of Israel, and it says, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord. And they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. And therefore the people quarreled with Moses, and they said, give us water to drink. And I think that's a deep cry in the hearts of people even today. Give us peace. Give us security. Give us a sense of hope. Give us a sense of identity. Give us a sense of knowing everything is going to be okay, because we are panicking and we are fearing. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with Me? Why do you test the Lord? And it's like a hard word, eh? Coming to people who are thirsty. I mean, they were thirsty. They in the desert. By the way, I'm thirsty, so let me just, where's my water? Thanks, love. So they were in the desert. And I think they had a reason to be thirsty. You would expect them to be thirsty. But they have been through the desert before, and they've been through a time when they have been thirsty before. And God has provided for them. So now they come to Moses and they start quarreling with Moses. They're not just disagreeing with him, because Moses goes to God and he now goes and he complains to God. He says, the people thirsted there for water, And the people grumbled against Moses. At one stage in our small groups, we had what we called grumble sessions. You started off the icebreaker and you would just grumble. Everybody together, just let's just have a good moan. Have a good session, just grumble. Think of the thing that bugs you and just grumble. Get it out of your system. Everybody together, 1, 2, 3. Then it's out. Okay, you finish your grumbling. Right? But they were grumbling against God. And they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Says, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? Why did you cause us to hope? Why did you cause us to think that our lives can be different? Why did you cause us to have faith? Why did you cause us to start believing? Now we're faced with destruction here in the desert. And so Moses cried to the Lord and he says, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And so this thirst that the people were experiencing, this thirst was so intense that they were about to kill Moses. There's a deep thirst in our nation, isn't there? Deep thirst. And I think we will underestimate the immensity of that thirst. But we can't afford to do that. But I believe that as we heard this morning, the blood of Christ that flows into our veins wants to be life through us. But before it can be life through us, that life wants to be life to us. There's a great thirst out there, and God wants us to engage with the thirst around us. It is very clear that the time for the church to simply just pray, to simply just pray from a distance, those times are not going to cut it anymore. We need to engage with the world. We need to engage with the pain that's out there. We need to have the conversation with the people who are hurting and wounded for whatever reason it is. And also, let's be honest with one another. What we're seeing amongst the students is simply a symptom of what's going on in many, many hearts. Where there's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration on different levels. For some people, it's political. For some people, it's relational. But irrespective of the symptom, there's a thirst in the hearts of man, crying out for something to sustain them. And very often, because of that thirst, people start lashing out at each other. Moms start blaming dads. Dads start blaming moms. Kids start blaming parents. Employees start blaming employers. Students start employing quarreling against the government and blaming them. There's a lot of blame and quarreling going on. But the root is this thirst inside of hearts. And so the people of God, they were faced with the same thirst. And so Moses comes to them and the Lord says to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord. And here it is, and this is where it became clear to me. What was really going on there, the thirst was challenging not so much their physical ability to provide water for their bodies, but it was challenging their faith. The thirst was challenging their faith because this was the question that summarized it all. All of their struggles, their fight with Moses was reduced to this one question. Our hope and our peace and our joy for all of us, in our nation, in our families, and where you find yourself in your own life with your own unique sets of challenges and everything God has called you to do and God has called you to be in, all of that is simply reduced to this one question. Is the Lord among us or not? And if we think the Lord is not amongst us, what will we do? We will panic. If we think the Lord is not amongst us, what will we do? We will start quarreling with one another because we will start looking for answers from people. And so God says, my heart aches. And there's a sense of deep disappointment in the heart of God here because my people doubted whether I'm with him. So I believe what God is wanting to call us back to as a lifestyle and as a culture is to have that question settled in our hearts. Yes, God is with us. Yes, God is with us. And so the reason why I believe times of coming together on Sundays and Wednesdays and throughout the week of coming together as believers, the reason why those times are so important is because when we come together, what do? We encourage each other that yes, indeed, God is with us. We sing about God being with us. We testify about God being with us. And we strengthen each other to say, you might be thirsty. You might be dying in the desert. It might feel like everything has been turned upside down. But God is with us. He has been with us. He's with us. And he will be with us. And it's easy to have that as a theory, isn't it? But when you're thirsty, when it feels like not just you, but your kids and your livestock, because that's what they're saying to Moses. They're saying, Moses, you have brought us out of Egypt, and now we and our children and our livestock, we are all going to die. I think so much fear is being stirred in people's hearts for their children. Are our children safe in this nation? Is there a future for them here? And I believe that God wants to stir our faith this morning to come back and to say, but the future of our children doesn't depend on what kind of government is governing. The future of our children doesn't depend upon what kind of economic system is being implemented in our nation. The future of our children depends on the fact that God is with us. God is with us. For some other reason, we as the Western church has begun to move further and further away from discomfort. As if being with God and God having with us means an absence of chaos, it means an absence of hurt, an absence of pain. It does not. That's not the way that the church grew. The church has always flourished when things were falling apart. The church has always flourished when things were at its darkest. If God is with us, then we've got hope for the future. If God is with us, then we have responsibility to pray. If God is with us, then we have responsibility to take the life-giving water to the dying, to the thirsty, on the streets, in the corporate environment, on the campuses. And that's why we are contending for our campuses. That's why we are rejoicing with Potchefstroom, a young church plant there. They've, within less than a year, they've got about 400, 500 students worshiping God, coming to church every Sunday. We're saying, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. We're trusting for WITS. We're trusting for the University of Pietermaritzburg in Durban and PE. We're trusting God for every village, every town, every nation to have a place where the rock, things that look hard, things that look impenetrable, when the people of God, through faith in God, can see water come forth from it. There's some of you involved with kids in ECDs and preschools and primary schools and high schools. And I want to encourage you to get together with one another. Extend your faith and say, God, we are trusting you for the young people of our nation. In actual fact, I want to pray for you at the end of the service. If you are involved with the little ones, then you need to come. We lay hands on you. We can pray for you. And trust God to do something through your life. Because our young people need hope. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. Okay, just reaffirming it again. And I want to read this from the Afrikaans and our English-speaking guests. Please forgive me, but it's the same verse as just in Afrikaans. Juig voor die Here, o ganse aarde. Dien die Here met blydskap. This is a 1953 translation. Kom voor sy aangesig met gejubel. I love that. Because in this verse, I see an expectation. It says that we rejoice and we come before God. Why? Because we are coming before his face. He's saying, kom voor sy aangesig met gejubel. What has helped me a great deal in my worship, in my praise towards God, is to really imagine God looking at me while I'm worshiping him. How will I worship God if I'm standing there in front of God in heaven one day, face to face, worshiping him? It has changed the way that I approach God. And here he says, kom voor sy aangesig met gejubel. Kom ons voor God sy aangesig met gejubel. Do we have an expectation that we will meet with his face? Because if we have an expectation that God is here and God wants to meet with us, then we need to come before him in a certain way. One of the greatest moments in my day is coming home. Coming home and opening up the door and then having little Katie run towards me, almost tackle me off my feet. Every time, Anneke doing the same, and mom encouraging them, and just amazing. Does something to my heart, and I believe that there's something in the heart of God that needs us to just rejoice in the fact that he's here. He's here with us. Can we rejoice in God simply for the fact that he's here with us? Blows me away with my kids. It doesn't matter what kind of day I've had. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter the hiding I gave them the previous day. They are just happy to see me. They are rejoicing in seeing me. Can we give God that same? God, we come before your presence. Before your hand starts moving, we come before your presence with joy. It says, erken dat die Here God is. Hy het ons gemaak en ons is synde. Sy volk en die skape van sy weide. Gaan sy poorte in met lof, sy voorhoewe met lofgesang. Loof hom, prys sy naam, want die Here is goed. Sy goedertierenheid is tot in ewigheid en sy trou van geslag tot geslag. English says, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's commit ourselves to be imparting thankfulness and the testimony of God's faithfulness to the people around us and to the youngsters coming after us. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. We prayed this verse this morning, intercession. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything. This was written to the Philippians in a time when they were being persecuted, massacred, being thrown to the lions, being crucified along the highways, being killed as sports in the gladiatorial games by a very crazy emperor called Nero. It says, be anxious about nothing. The gospel has never been written just for people who live in safety. The gospel gives hope in the midst of our circumstances. I would like you to take the thing that stresses you out and put that in that anything there. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we bring our prayers before God, and the Afrikaans says, met smeekinge. We come before God and we plead for our nation. We plead for our families. We plead for our kids. We plead for our destiny. But then it says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that thanksgiving is a key to maintaining a peaceful mind. Thanksgiving is a key to maintaining a mind of peace. We thank God. Say, Jesus, I thank you for who you are, what you have done. Craig, I'm going to ask you if in 90 seconds, you can just share. I had a lovely conversation with one of the most chilled people I know, Craig Snyders. He's our sound guru, lawyer come surfer, just an amazing man, awesome dad, wonderful friend. And we were sharing with each other just in this week, and he shared with me just some of the, how he's just going through a lot of the same stuff, and I asked him to share a little bit around that.
Yeah, I don't really know what's left to share. This is the scripture I was going to share, so I feel like I was set up a little bit. I've been suffering quite a bit from anxiety. I'm a business owner, South Africa, and it gets to me every day. But then this scripture started coming to mind probably about 2 months ago, and I got stuck first on "be anxious for nothing." That's the New King James translation. It says "be anxious for nothing." And I thought nothing is a big word. And then it says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, like Einich was saying now. And I stopped that prayer and supplication for a while, and I realized I wasn't praying. Okay, so, since about May this year, I've been getting up a bit earlier. I realize I need less sleep. I need more of God. Sleep doesn't give me peace. So I started praying more, and prayer and supplication started making a difference, and peace of God comes back. And then I realized, but there's actually a third part to it, the thanksgiving. And that's the looking back part for me. I look back and I see what the Lord has done. And I remind myself in the mornings, and I sit and I remind myself how the Lord has provided, how he has carried us, how, like the Israelites, they were in the desert, he didn't let them die of thirst. And we, France and myself, we've had a journey the last couple of years with That for us, it's the journey of Exodus has been very special. It's been quite real for us. And a big part of that has been finding yourself in the desert from occasion to occasion, and then the devil comes with that question of, is the Lord with us? And the answer then is, yes, the Lord is with us. Look at what he has done in the past. We went through the Red Sea. We didn't drown. The Egyptians drowned. And for me, it's not a once-off. It's a daily thing with me. It's a daily, I just look so chill. But that comes from a place of reminding myself in the morning what the Lord has done in the past. It's not a joke. He's not setting me up for a joke. He's setting us up for his glory every day. And we need to take hold of that. And sometimes I'm just thankful for salvation because that's immense. That's eternal. That's something that's not going away. And to start with thanksgiving, sometimes you just don't want to be thankful for anything. Start with thanksgiving for salvation. That's something that we don't yet grasp what eternal salvation means. On this side. So I think my 90 seconds are up. But I was sharing with Heinrich this week, and when you're in that place where you feel anxiety and you're anxious, start with prayer, supplication, but also go to thanksgiving. That's for me it's something that's really carried me and it's real. It brings life and it also changes the atmosphere. You must ask Francie about that. I can only direct you to her, because if I'm not in praying and being thankful, there's a consequence in our house. And I feel that that's something that the Lord wants to bring in all our homes, is that spirit of thankfulness brings life and brings freedom. Amen. Okay.
Thanks, Craig. And guys, I really feeling impressed upon my spirit so much that God is saying to us that thanksgiving, as Craig is discovering, and I believe so many of us are discovering, you cannot be passive around thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a passive thing. That thanksgiving is something you have to grab a hold of, and you've got to say to God, God, I am thanking you. And you have to be just stepping into the power of thanksgiving. As he rightly said, it changes the atmosphere. There's a time, this last few days even, that I've just been saying, sometimes my prayers are just, thank you, Jesus. 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 Waking up in the morning saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as you do that, I believe we are partnering. Because this is a reality. We can partner with the negativity around us. Or we can partner with what God is saying. And with who God is, and stir and release faith in our hearts. 1 Timothy 4 verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And the previous key there, thanksgiving that leads to peace, Craig nailed it on the head. It's not the more sleep. Sometimes you just need to sleep more, yes, but it's not primarily the more sleep that gives you your peace. It's not primarily having your job description all neatly figured out that will give you the peace. It's not necessarily having the thing that you desire the most that will give you the peace. It's being thankful for the fact that God is with you and he saved you. For me, it's realizing it's not just my running that will give me the peace. It's, for some of us, it's not just our mountain biking, or it's not just our surfing. It doesn't lie there. If it does lie there, then it is misplaced. Because where will you put your peace when you can't go mountain biking or running or sculpting or whatever it is, or baking? Where will you put your peace then? Will you just move it from the mountain biking to the chess, and from the chess to the, or will you find your peace in someone that's eternal? Again, nothing against those baking. I love baking, praise God. I love being baked for, I must be honest. Every creature of God is good. I believe that thanksgiving is a powerful tool that enables us to consecrate and sanctify things to the Lord. Some of you just need to get into the habit again of thanking God for your kids. Thank God for them. Consecrate them to God. They are good and perfect gifts from God. Take your tablet. Take your laptop. Take your work cubicle. Take your car. Thank God for it. Because when you thank God for it, you understand it comes from God, and so there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose. We thank God for your house. And the more you thank God for your house, the more you will begin to understand and appreciate God's purpose for your house. Thanksgiving is a key to sanctification. Some of us need to thank God for our brains and just thank God for your brain. God, I thank you for my mind. Some of us have thoughts of confusion and anxiety and absent-mindedness running through our brain. Thank God for your brain. Thank God for the soundness of mind that it gives you. The Hebrew rabbis took thankfulness to the next level. Now, many of us, I believe, we thank God for our food. I hope you do. Sit down. Very often when you see what happens in kitchens, you really need to thank God for your food and consecrate it to the Lord. Okay, really? Don't take it lightly. Thank God. Consecrate it to God. You don't know what happened in the kitchen, all right? You don't know what happened in the drive-thru McDonald's. Thank God. Okay, consecrate it to the Lord. But some of us pray those silly prayers, eh? God, make me truly thankful. And really, God can't do that for you. You've got to cultivate it in your own hearts. God, I'm thankful. Thank you. But the Hebrew rabbis would take this to the next level. They wouldn't just thank God for the food going into their bodies. They would thank God for the food going out of their bodies. After going to the bathroom, they would thank God. Say, God, I thank you for a digestive system that works. I thank you that my body has the ability to take in food, to use the nutrients, and then get rid of everything that's poisonous. I thank God for spending time on the white throne. It's thankfulness. Ah, thank you. Someone got it. I can't read everything for you. Deuteronomy 1:29 says, Moses speaking to his people, God's people, it says, do not be in dread or afraid of them. Okay, the giants that the people were facing. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. Don't be afraid, people, of God, whatever you're facing. Wherever you are, whatever town, whatever nation you are, don't be afraid. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as it did for you in Egypt, just as it did for you in the past. Some of you need to go and revisit your past and thank God for it. It's a beautiful morning. Yesterday, I'd awaken with the ladies sharing testimonies, and next week we'll give them opportunity to share. But so many of you have got amazing testimonies. You need to just go back and share them with people, revisit them. And in the wilderness where you have seen, and this was a verse that so blessed me this week, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. I believe that if you were to look back on your life, that you will see how up until this moment, God has been carrying you as a father carries his son upon his shoulders. And if you don't know that, then we want to pray for you, because that means that you need a revelation of the love of God. You need to have that revelation of how much he loves you and that he has been with you every step of the way. Ephesians 3 says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Thankfulness, we can thank God. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God that we serve, and it's in that God that we put our hope for the future. So thanksgiving is the key to faith. If you need more faith for a challenge or for a situation, thank God for who he is. Thank God that this is the God that we serve, the one who's able to do the impossible things, the one who is enthroned above the floods. That's the God that we serve. So I'm just going to read a few more verses for you. Revelation 4:9 says that whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And so when we thank God, we thank God because it gives us peace. It gives us perspective. It stirs our faith, and it encourages us to enter into this prophetic act, which we will be doing for all of eternity. So when we come together in the morning like this, there's something prophetic, something significant that we are demonstrating to the world to say that we as a community are a thankful community. And one day in heaven, this is what we will be doing. We'll be thanking God, the one who's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. The one who created all things. Some of you need to come back to God and just say, God, I believe you that you hold the power in your hands for our future, for my work, for my womb, for whatever it is that I'm faced with. So I want us to get practical. Again, I want to give you a few suggestions, and I want to encourage you, those who have Bibles that glow, okay, there's a YouVersion Bible reading plan. Okay, YouVersion. If you don't have YouVersion, download it on your phone. It's an amazing Bible app. They've got a few reading plans on thankfulness. It's a very short one, just 4 days. All right, download it, subscribe to it, they take you through a few scriptures, and just for the next 4 days, read those verses and pray those verses. Thank God that He's the one who is in control. Thank God that He's the one who has been faithful. Just for the next 4 days, if you can do that. Those of you that are on Facebook, how about posting a daily post of thanksgiving to God? Just for the next week, one post, one day. Thank God for something in His life, in your life. Thank Him for eyes to see your beautiful children. Thank Him for eyes to see the rainbow. Thank Him for eyes to be able to see different colors, to be able to experience beautiful, majestic views all around you. Thank Him for ears to hear beautiful music and incredible bird life all around us. How about writing a letter of thanks to a parent or to a boss or a former boss, a team manager or a coach, someone that meant something to you? How about writing a letter of thanks? I was reading through the district mail this week, and it's tough finding thankfulness in our newspapers. How about making a prophetic act and just say, I thank God for Somerset West. I just want to say that I'm thankful to be, and I'm thankful for our police, and I'm thankful for what we see around us. Us as families, as dads, how about taking one evening this week and just saying, this will be an evening of thanksgiving. Come together, take communion. We were Friday evening, or it was a Thursday, we were talking about something, there was a challenge, and Katie said, kom ons vat nagmaal. Let's have communion, our little five-year-old. And so we had communion, amazing things came out of it. But such a beautiful, powerful thing when we come together in thankfulness. As parents, it's our responsibility to demonstrate thankfulness to our kids. What are the stories we are writing to them? I'm going to ask us that we would bring our hearts before the Lord. And we just want to close your eyes. I want to pray with us and pray for this next few days, because I have this unction in my heart that God is wanting to bring about a shift for us. And guys, again, I want to say it's not something we can be passive about. The onslaught of fear that wants to come against us and wants to come against our hearts, there's no antidote for it. There's no antidote, no amount of discussion, no amount of debating is going to be able to get us to a place of peace unless we remain in the presence of God. And being in the presence of God is all about being thankful. Thanking Him for what He has already done. Thanking Him for who He is. Thanking Him for His life that He gave us. So Father, I thank You for all the words that came this morning as You encouraged us, Lord, to look to the covenant. You are a covenant-keeping God. We thank You for that word. Thank You that Your name is I Am, the one who is more than enough for us. You are faithful to Your promises. Thank You that You are enthroned above the floods, Lord. Doesn't matter what the flood is, You are enthroned. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood that courses through our veins and then gives us life. And Father, we thank You and we honor You, Lord God, that You have been doing amazing things in Stellenbosch campus. Thank You, Lord, for protecting people there. Thank You for protecting people in different campuses, Lord, right throughout our nation. Thank You for lives that You have saved, God. We honor You for that, Father. And thank You, Lord, that we are free from the bondage and the slavery to fear. But Father, I know that this morning many of us have to make a choice to say that we will walk away from our shackles. I just had this picture in my mind as I was praying right now of many of us sitting in our prisons, and the prison doors have been opened, but we have these chains around our ankles, but we also have the key just in front of us, just on the little table in front of us next to our bread. It's this green, stale bread. There's this key. But some of us, we make the choice to rather go for the bread. We know it's green, we know it's bad, we know it's not going to satisfy us, but we take it, and I believe that just represents a spirit of negativity. It represents just being incapable and unwilling to just look back and see God's faithfulness. And God is saying, I've given you the key. It's yours to take. The prison door is open. The key has been given. It's ours to use. So God, we receive a key from you this morning, God, and we thank you, Lord, for where you are taking us, and we can walk into the sunlight of freedom in the name of Jesus. I'm going to just ask us that we would stand, and we're going to play this song. Etienne, if you can just prep that song for us. And it's a song that many of us might not know, but it's quite easy. It's just speaking about God being enthroned upon the praises of his people. And as the song is playing, you might not know the words. Just open up your heart and begin to thank God. I'm trusting him for just an outpouring of his spirit of thankfulness upon us. Some of us need to receive that spirit from God. Some of us need to receive that anointing from the Holy Spirit to walk in the oil of joy that he has for us. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with oil of joy and with gladness more than his contemporaries, more than his peers. Some of us need to ask God, God, come and anoint me this morning. And maybe you need to step to the front and just symbolically we will come and we will anoint you with the oil of joy to just cover your mind, to cover your perspective, cover the way that you look at things. And say, God, I come and I look away from everything else and I look to you and I receive from you the spirit of thanksgiving to enter into your gates. I thank you for an expectation in my heart to meet with you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can open up our hearts to you. Some of us have walked away from God and we've strayed. You need to come to the front as well and just to say to God, God, I'm opening up my heart and my hands to you again. Some of us have not been extending our hands to God. Maybe we've never done it before. God just wants to encourage you to live with your arms and your hands wide open. And ask him to baptize you in the spirit of praise this morning in Jesus' name. Thanks, Etienne. Let's just play the song as we into the last few minutes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Just where you're standing, you just raise your voice to God and just start thanking him. Just start thanking him. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we have been saved by you. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you have set us free, Lord God, from shackles and bondages, Lord, that you have called us, God, as your people to live, Father God, with thanksgiving in our hearts towards you. Thank you, Lord, for our family. Thank you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.